He said, really think it would be cool if you all talked about what history can teach the world about being man.
LGBTQ, like all that stuff is just like kind of
messing with people's heads.
It's messing with people's heads and stuff and confusing people. And that's why we're depressed. It's not because you don't have something. It's because
people are our age, they don't even have a goal anymore. Like when you ask them, what are your purposes? Like,
we don't wake up and think, how can I be a masculine man?
And if a woman doesn't have that kind of man next to them that will defend them, there are two women out there. That's just what it comes down to, you know what I mean? And you definitely don't want to have that.
Have as well, which is a huge problem for men. Men don't need to work to get a woman now, like nowadays. They can just go on their phone. Kings, like back in the day, they would see like maybe 5 to 10 beautiful women in their entire lives, and we can see that in an hour. Yeah. In an hour. The psyop, that's the psyop nowadays. Like you retire, and then you can just rest and be comfortable with the rest of your life. We look at so many people that are killing it, and you wonder, how come I'm not there? How come I'm not out there winning? Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah, I'm the victim. I've been through X, Y, Z. That's why I didn't do it.
Right.
And that's where guys really fall off.
The path to paradise begins in hell. Yeah. And for me, that's one of the things that helped me to become a man.
The opposite of courage is not discouraged. It's...
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bros Think Big. Today, we are going to be talking about masculinity and the history of manhood and what it means to be man. Looking at today's society and seeing things that are happening around us, you know, we've definitely lost a sight of what a true man should be, what true masculinity should be, and embracing the true masculinity of men. And, you know, as the debates go on about like what it means to be a man, who is a man, what is a man, people are just so confused. Now they've mixed in the whole biological understanding of men with masculinity, and there are people that are going to claim to be a woman that are in reality men, but we all know that there's only two genders. There's men and women. It's just people have a very confused and misunderstood idea on what it means to be a man and how to necessarily like put that in practice to exercise your manhood in the world. You know what I mean? It's not a specific age, nor is it how deep your voice is or how do you carry yourself. Yeah, those come with it, but it's deeper than that. It goes down into who are you serving and what are you doing in this world to contribute as a man? And are you a leader, the type of leader who humbly serves God and serves people and the world in a positive way? Why do you guys think that it's such a confusing concept nowadays, and it's very, I guess, swayed into a whole different direction than what men should actually be?
Well, when I think about how I used to act even before personal development, before starting this podcast, when I was just like a normal middle schooler, normal high schooler, growing up, like what was the norm? The norm was to, okay, like you kind of go to school, right? You come home, yeah, maybe play some video games. You kind of just like rest, you do your homework. And it's like you get into these cycles, like these boring cycles of school and life and work. And it's just like you kind of, as a man, like you kind of crave something outside of that. You start to use your imagination to think outside of the box, outside of things. And you start to crave and desire things outside of that. But what I feel like nowadays, why things are missing, is it's all an agenda. And that's why it's confusing. It's confusing men to be weak, to be, to chase the path of least resistance and to go down that path multiple times in order, and that leads to destruction and stuff. And so, like I said, I feel like it's an agenda, even with the whole like woke, like being woke and stuff like that, LGBTQ, like all that stuff is just like kind of...
It's messing with people's heads
and stuff and confusing people. Like they think there's like this super neutral part in society. Everyone's right. Everyone's wrong. Like there's nothing even, like it's not subjective. Like there is objectivity in this world and stuff 100%. Like that. People do need to realize that. And I think with masculinity, there is objective overarching like laws that govern it, being a man in this world, being born as a man.
Right. That's why to give a shout out to who suggested this specific episode is at averagepatriot.14. He said, really think it would be cool if you all talked about what history can teach the world about being man. P.S. Love the podcast. Learned a lot from your conversations. So just like how you said, I think there can be that overarching evidence on what it means to be a masculine man, what our understandings can, or how we can fathom the idea on what it means to be a man, because throughout the history, you can see what masculine men have shaped their society and the world into a place. And then you can see the weak men coming to, whether that be a leader or a king, and then have literally brought their country and the world into destruction because of their ego, because of their selfishness, because of the pride, because of too much pleasure and stuff like that. They don't focus on what the world, what the people need. They focus on how can they fulfill themselves, and they get very egotistical. That's why Roman Empire fell. That is one of the reasons why Roman Empire fell.
And it's a shame too, because like I said, like this, the current society is set up to,
I was going to say something and you just keep going back and forth.
But like I said, like the current society is like set up for us to be comfortable. We have everything. We have all the bitches on our phone. We have,
all the girls.
Bitches. All the girls on our phone. We have food. We have abundance. We have people around us.
Now you can make money online easily. You can just sit at your house and do nothing. I mean, not have to go outside and work physically. Just be on your computer.
We're free. This is what freedom does to people. Right. And that's why we're depressed. It's not because you don't have something. It's because you're not chasing after something.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You know what I mean?
It's like people don't have a deeper outlook on what you need to do as a man and how you need to provide necessarily. You know what I mean? And not just that, but having the feeling of, you know, being obligated to provide for the family, provide for the society, provide for the world, and be that example, that positive example for the world, and not only think about yourself, but other people. That is the biggest thing that's missing. People think about themselves more often than not.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to put it in my own way. I mean, obviously, it's going to be like connected to what you guys said. But like when it's like the first thing that comes in my head when I think of how it's different from like how it used to be, even back in the history, is I think the purpose, right? The responsibilities. People don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like people are our age, they don't even have a goal anymore. Like when you ask them, what are your purposes? Like, what are you trying to accomplish in life? They don't have any. They don't have any purpose. So their day-to-day life looks like just everything's just always different. Even their routine every day is not same. It's always different. And the reason is because it's all over the place. They don't know what their goal is. Therefore, their day can look like one day they can play video games. Second day they can go and play soccer, for example. Third day they can go back to video games. And because their life is not
structured.
Like structured in going towards a goal. And that goal is like, I mean, usually like when you have a purpose, right? Your day-to-day life looks same. Like, for example, in my case, working out in the morning and then probably reading a book, watching some educational videos, probably just rest, like scroll, whatever, and then go to practice again, right? And then come back, eat, go to sleep. Usually, like, athletes, schedule is like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Train, eat, and then sleep, and then train again, and like that, right? Someone that's a businessman hustles, you know what I mean? Either working from home or going out, you know, whatever their job may be.
Right?
But someone that doesn't have a purpose, it's all over the place. It's always about fun. It's always about somebody gives them a call. Yo, let's go out. They're going to go out because they don't have a schedule and they don't have that responsibility to be at whatever they have to be at. You know what I mean? So that's where it gets lost.
And I feel like we can kind of understand what masculinity is. And not even just that, like we don't wake up and think, how can I be a masculine man? We think we just look at our goals. We look at our desires. We look at our purpose, or we look at things that can fulfill us. But how we can kind of start to see like what it means to be masculine, or even not just that, but to start living a life of fulfillment, a life of purpose, is by looking into stories. Like, for example, whenever the reason I was so addicted to like watching anime and watching these stories is because of the journey. It's because of watching this character. He starts from zero. He starts from being the worst, being this like so down bad, and then he starts leveling up, getting better and better. He starts overcoming challenges and he's on a journey, and you watch it and you're just like, wow, I want that in my own life. I want to go on a journey, the hero's journey. I want to go out and like conquer something and release this desire, this energy that I have.
And inspire others.
Exactly.
Through that same journey, yeah. I mean, even if we look at a couple of the things that we wrote down in terms of the traits as a masculine person, integrity, loyalty, patience, authenticity, humility, strength, whether that's mental, spiritual, physical, wisdom, love, care, serving. Like, these are the things that when you do practice and when you do, I guess, attain these traits in your life, then you will actually live your life pretty purposefully. You know what I mean? These are not a regular traits that anybody can have out of nothing. You need to really practice these and really want to have them and you know, live your life according to your true self. We had an episode with David. Check that out if you haven't. We talked about masculinity. We had him on as a guest because he served in the army. And these are some of those things that you learn in army and doing things that are about serving the country, serving the people, and the things that you learn from day-to-day basis when you have to go through hardships, being alone. You know, he shared a lot of the things, what it feels like being away from home, you know, overcoming the challenges that you thought you could never do. And not just that, but you need to, I guess, what we always preach is, you know, take on some kind of responsibility and do things in your life that is meaningful. Do things that is going to help your future kids, your family, help the community around you, help, you know, your friends, whatever that may be, useful. You know, don't be the type of person who has to rely on other people. Don't be the type of person who sits there and just expects everything from other people, but not the other way around, not expecting to provide for other people and be that person that when somebody needs something, they come to you for that. You know, you have to have that feeling, you have to have that drive, especially as men. And that's what's missing. People don't have that. People are all out for themselves, especially like what we've seen in America and stuff, especially nowadays. It's like, what can I do for myself? It's not, oh, I don't care about what somebody does in their life. I mean, yeah, to some extent, you can't just be going around and you know, sticking your nose into other people's business too much. You have to mind your own business. But then at the same time, you have to have an understanding that it's not just about yourself. You don't do things just to help yourself. When you have helped yourself, now it is a very masculine, a very manly thing to go and help other people, to bring other people up, because unity is what creates strength. Unity is what creates the conquering idea of, you know, masculinity in the world. And that's what's missing.
Yeah, exactly. Like what Mike also mentioned, it's not about you waking up and saying, am I masculine man or not? It's like what you do day to day that shapes you into being a masculine man at the end of the day. So, and then there's a quote from Hard Times Create Strong Men, which book we have all read, yeah. Right? And then one of them is by Jack Donovan, right? And it says, masculinity is about being a man within a group of men. Above all things, masculinity is about what men want from each other. And it's like the message is just all about them serving each other and serving the country, right? That's right. What warriors used to do. And those were the men that a lot of people got an idea of masculinity. You know what I mean? That's where it kind of almost came from, right? When you think of masculine, that's where my mind goes. You know what I mean? Like warriors fighting for the country. Exactly. Like building a country for the future generation.
100%.
And like, I mean, even if you watch the movies, right, it's clear there that those people weren't fighting for themselves, but they were fighting for the country. They didn't care. It almost looked like they didn't really care about their lives at all. Like, it was just them fighting for the country and for the future generation.
Right.
And sacrifice. Hoping hoping that the future generation would appreciate that and keep that, right? It's like the first generation, like, for example, when you're a dad, right, you build whatever you can for your kids. And then your kid is the one that's supposed to grow it more and kind of like keep it, right?
Take on from there.
Which is kind of how it is from our ancestors, which, you know, obviously right now we can see they're not keeping in there. It's like, it's like a disrespect coming from them.
And even
look deep into it.
And yeah, even in that book, Hard Times Create Strong Man, talks a lot about how guys, they have this earning, this yearning in their heart for that masculine drive and that masculine journey, but they get it from things that temporarily fulfill them.
Yeah.
Like video games, that sense of conquest, that sense of brotherhood. You guys are all in a Fortnite match and you guys have a squad. You guys are winning the games. That's the conquest nowadays. That's what we're chasing after. The goals of getting those victory royales, which is cool and all. At the end of the day, you might make some memories, but at the end of the day, you sort of shut off the game and you go back to your real life. And not just that, we have porn as well, which is a huge problem for men. Men don't need to work to get a woman now, like nowadays. They can just go on their phone and look at 50 beautiful women. Who
all kinds too,
They look absolutely perfect and stunning whenever they want. And I keep
the editing
this,
and the things that they can do through the technology.
Exactly. And there's billions of women out there. So imagine how many women that you can see a day, right? So it's, I kept hearing this thing. It's like kings, and like back in the day, they would see like maybe 5 to 10 beautiful women in their entire lives. And we can see that in a couple, like in an hour, yeah. in an hour. And it's like, we are just so overstimulated and so, we're so like suffocated by abundance and freedom yeah. that we don't know how to use it wisely. And we think we're suffocating.
And guess how the kings would actually do that? They would conquer the country or the region, whatever. Yeah. And that's how they would take the girls, right? I mean, obviously it's like, it's not the best example of like, yeah, that's what you should do. But the idea of it is that they were actually working for it. Now you don't need to work for it. You, everything's just given. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Right.
That's the idea of everything. Like back then it was all, I have to work for it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and then now it's just like, I just get it through online.
And it really is a blessing for like, especially like with what I have. I live in like a nice like suburban area. I did not live in there like for the first couple of years of my life yeah. and stuff like that. Like my parents did struggle a lot, but thankfully like I live in like a good home. Like my father's worked really hard to get there, and I have food on the table. I have a roof over my head. I have a bed to sleep in. I have a happy family and I'm blessed. But that blessing can also be a destruction of me because of the fact that I can get so comfortable so easily.
Yeah.
And that's what can destroy me. That's what can lead me to not leave a legacy here on earth. And so what I've been doing on my personal development journey is like kind of deconstructing that whole entire mindset of stop just always looking forward to the path of least resistance and chase pain, chase discomfort, yeah. chase hardship. And that might sound crazy to normal people nowadays, but for people who really want it in this world, like you would get this like sense in your heart, like, yes, like I want discomfort. I want to chase challenge. It's exciting. And that's exactly what you should chase.
Yeah.
Because pleasure is meaningless. You know what I mean? Just like how you said this in our first episode, I'm pretty sure, or the one before this, you said something along the lines of pleasure feels really meaningful at the moment, but very meaningless when it's over. And it's the other way around with hardship and pain. With pain, you don't want to be there at the moment, but you would never regret that you went through that ever in your life, because you come out a stronger person, you come out a better person, you come out as a warrior, as a stronger character. That's where your character builds, through the hardship, through those difficult moments. And without those moments, without those days, you're not building your character. You're really just going down. And that's what the world is doing now. They're just leading themselves and they're going backwards, thinking that they're evolving. Yeah, we're evolving in one thing. Like, yeah, the technology is getting better. You could say people are getting quote unquote smarter and all that kind of stuff. But then they're taking away all of that, like actual biological needs of what a human needs in this life to thrive, like good food, exercise, serving people, you know, having a relationship with God and loving God with all your heart, that type of things. These are the spiritual needs. These are the physical needs, mental needs that people don't pay attention to. And yeah, there's abundance around you, but that abundance feels like nothing. That's why you see so many people depressed now. We said this in our previous episode too. There's so many things that we have right now on our fingertips, yet these are the times when people are most depressed. And back then, when people barely had food, barely had anything to, anywhere to sleep, they would just be traveling all over the place and all that kind of stuff, going to wars constantly. They were, so to speak, more happy, and they were thriving more than they do now. Even though they had more struggles, right?
Right, exactly. And so it's crazy. A question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, I feel like for these people, life was so much more simpler for them. And nowadays it's like so complicated because we have the phone, we see everyone else's life, and we feel like we're comparing ourselves to other people. Like we're comparing ourselves to like kings.
The average people.
To like all the, no, like to the kings nowadays. Like we go on our phone, we look at so many people that are killing it, and you wonder, you get off your phone and you wonder, how come I'm not there? How come I'm not out there winning and stuff like that? There must be something wrong with me. Oh, that's it. Yeah, yeah, I'm the victim. I've been through X, Y, Z. That's why I didn't do it.
Right. And this guy had it easy and all that kind of stuff.
And that's where guys really fall off. They start making excuses for why they're not doing better and stuff.
Yeah. And dude, the lies too. I mean, when you go on social media and somebody, you know, puts up a video saying they have all these nice cars, they're on yacht, they got all this money, they're flexing all that. And then next thing you know, some of them, not everybody, advertise that as if they made that in a couple years. But they probably didn't.
Or if they did, you know, they do some illegal stuff. And this is very common. But when the idea gets out that you, that they made money so easily, so fast, now you ask yourself why you couldn't do that, and you start chasing the wrong things. You don't, because you're almost naive, and I would say, yeah, you're very naive to the fact that these type of stuff don't come that fast. Either lying or they did this illegally or something like that. And we just look at the end result. We don't look at, okay, what is the path that this person went through? What is it that, because dude, the chances are they also struggled. They went through a lot of failures. They had to. And they're also lying about maybe the amount of time they actually spend on the business. When they say 2 years, they probably spend 10, 15 years. And that's a big difference. If you think that you can make millions of dollars and scale a business to, you know, having 1 million in revenue, think that you can do that in 2 years, the chances of that is very, very unlikely. And you don't have to, I guess, put that much pressure on yourself, especially being 21 and under 21, you know what I mean? Like, people are 16, 17, and they want to be millionaires already, just like that. And that, you know, brings a lot of pressure on them, and they think they're worthless and they have nothing, and now they go and fulfill their void by doing meaningless things. That's where it comes from.
Or they start choosing on other paths, which is not so good, like scamming people because they want to scale their business and already start making a lot of money. So then they're like, oh, so I can retire at 25. Yeah, I mean, you probably could, right? But then it's like all that money that you got was through bad work. So it's always better to take more time and you know, get that money with like the traits even you were saying, like loyalty and being like a good person.
100%.
One thing I do want to tie up back in the whole thing with history is like Georgia, right? Georgia was in war with other countries a lot, and I want to put kind of connect this with God and faith. I think people also lost faith in God and just in general, like the word faith, right? Because when they were fighting for their country, there were situations where they had to be killed just by, and then they could all they could do is just admit the fact that, you know, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they didn't, right? They had that faith, the strong faith that they didn't care if they were going to die. They don't want to deny and kind of lose that love towards God, you know what I mean? So that's something that this society is also missing. They care so much what other people are going to say, and especially that's going on right now where, like, you go to a gathering or something and you mention God and you get vulnerable and you start sharing all this stuff, it's almost like a shame. Some people will start laughing at you. Some people are going to look at you as crazy and lunatic that you're like thinking about this stuff when it's not necessary. Like, oh, dude, come on, just have fun. You know, you don't gotta have these morals. You don't gotta have these boundaries, right? And back in the days, like old days, like they didn't really care about what other people thought, right? They didn't care that other countries were gonna invade them, and then they were just gonna like die because of what they believed. But they just wanted to be righteous, right? Righteous in God's eyes. You know what I mean? So that's also like very, very strong, even though it's like. Those historical things are obviously lost. Like, not a lot of people know about this.
Yeah.
But that's also, like, one thing to put in there. Like, faith is a very, very strong thing that keeps everyone waking up.
Yeah, everybody wants something constantly. Everybody wants to see something that they're getting. If they don't see it, they don't want to go after it type of thing. It's like, show me first, and then I'll go after that type of thing. It's never like, okay, it's in my vision. I want it. No matter what, I will go after it. Show me a proof. Show me this. It's always about constant pleasure, constant dopamine that people need to first fulfill before they go after something. It's like, it should be the other way around. You should get that fulfillment after you attain something, not the other way around. Because then when you attain that feeling, that dopamine, you don't want the goal. That's why when people overwhelm themselves with dopamine and pleasure, they don't want the goal anymore, right?
They don't want people anything. They're just a shell of a man. Right?
Exactly. Shell of a man that is addicted to just pleasure and just doing things only for themselves. They already have everything. Why are they going to go out of their way to hardship, to difficulty? For what? They already have everything. The abundance. It's choking them. It's suffocating them.
Yeah, and we don't, like, us, like, right here saying this stuff, we don't really need to pull up a study. We don't need to pull up anything to make this statement true. Like, go live it out in your own life.
Right.
You reap what you sow. So if you constantly sow in the path of least resistance, taking just pleasure, comfort, all of that, like you'll see the results in your life. You might be depressed. You might not have everything you want. You might not desire anything. That's because of the actions that you put in. You didn't put anything in. That's just what it comes down to. And I like what Georgie said about people who don't take life seriously. People think this stuff's like a joke. And the more you joke around and stuff like that, like the more people will think you're a joke and that your life's a joke. And I certainly don't think my life's a joke. I take myself seriously. Yeah. I want to wake up earlier. I want to like do better in the gym. I want to do better in all these areas. And it's just like, oh, bro, like live a little bit. Like it's okay to have a cheat meal. Like my boss at work, I'm doing 75 hard, and he's like a world-renowned chef. And
really?
Yeah, he's like really... Like he's really, really chill. He's been on Netflix and stuff like that. And he works at the place I work at. And he's like,
who is this guy? What's his name, dude?
Shout out to Chef Nikki.
Chef Nikki, shout out to you.
I don't think he ever watches podcasts, but he always tries to push me to like kind of eat something outside of like the diet and stuff like that. I can't keep telling him like, yo, listen, like I'm doing stuff off hard. Like I'm good. Like I don't really eat stuff like that. And he's just like, oh man, you gotta have a cheat meal every once in a while and stuff like that. You just gotta live a little bit. It's just like, I don't think that's living, in my opinion, right? And I tried doing that and stuff like that. Like sure, like you can like cheat yourself. Nah, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that you should cheat yourself.
Because at some point in your life, we were all in that situation where we chose comfort.
Yeah.
We gave into the temptation. We made up excuses for ourselves on why we had to do the things that we knew in the back of our minds that was irresponsible, was just meaningless, but we still gave into it. We gave into the temptation. So it's like when we see those temptations now, we know where it leads. We know how it's going to make you feel the next day. So it's the last thing that you want to get because you snapped into reality. You woke up, smelled the coffee, and you realized that, hey, this isn't worth it. And that's why when people say these type of stuff, we feel so repelled against it. We're like, yeah, but it doesn't feel good at the end of the day. It doesn't feel good in the long term. It doesn't really give me things in return type of thing. You know what I mean? It's not a good long-term investment, so to speak. And when you look at things in this perspective, yeah, people will be confused why you think the way you do. Because you know something. You have reflected on the things that other people probably haven't. The things that other people are still sleeping. The people are still, you know, living a lifestyle of just, you know, comfort and, like you said, just going down on this down spiral, waiting to hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'm not, like we said earlier too, like I'm not chasing after being a masculine man. What I'm really chasing after is putting my head on the pillow at the end of the night and just being like, I just hope I'm proud of myself for the work I did today. Like, I really want to go to bed so exhausted from all, like, the work I put in and stuff like that, that I have such a good sleep.
Yeah, right?
That's what I want to feel because I've had so many nights where I've lusted, I skipped the gym, I doom-scrolled all night. Like, I just, like, kind of wasted my day away and I couldn't sleep in now. Like, I'd feel so guilty to go to, like, to just fall asleep and just do nothing with myself. Yeah. So the pain, what I've done is I've attached pain to the outcome of these habits, going down the path of least resistance, and I've now attached pleasure to going to the gym, fleeing from temptation, from praying to God, waking up early, doing all these things, working very hard. That's exactly what you mean you need to kind of do over time.
Yeah. I also want to touch on the very important topic of strength. And I mean physical strength. I don't mean we're going to get to, I think, mental and spiritual strength too. But I think physical strength is something that we also have lost in today's society, especially as men, since we're talking about masculinity. You don't see people doing combat sports, nor embracing combat sports, nor do you see men that are actually physically strong, physically capable of being that savage person. You don't have that anymore. What is it?
Even like strong enough to defend themselves.
Right, exactly.
If anything comes up.
Yeah. And because let's be honest, I mean, we live in the world where we don't really need that type of thing. Now you have 911, brother. Anything comes up, 911. There was no 911 back then.
You get another man to protect you.
Yeah, exactly. You get another.
The real like masculine man to go in.
And dude, nothing's wrong with that. I think there are situations where, yes, you need to call the police because we have them here for a reason. And they do provide the type of, protection that we do need in society. But the idea is not about, you know,
being stupid and not calling 911 because of your ego and letting somebody shoot you to death or something. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the idea of being a strong person, that you're not afraid to defend yourself and you're not going to cower away and leave your girl there when a guy approaches her or like insults her and stuff and you just walk away. It feels weird as a man. Like, just if you actually have been in the situation where somebody disrespects you and you had to cower away, not because you were too strong to beat that person or you were confident enough that that guy was just somebody that was just talking nonsense. Like, no, I'm talking about a moment where you know you can't do anything. You know you're weak to swing. You're too weak to even beat them in anything. That's the type of situation I'm talking about. And we've all been in this situation where I certainly have got scared in a fight. There was moments where I stood up for myself and I fought in a fight. I lost the fight, but that didn't matter. I stood up for myself. I stood up for what I thought was right. I stood up for what I believed to be true. And that type of thing. But when you actually cower away and you know that you can't defend yourself, you're a weak man. And we can't have that, especially in today's society. People say, you know, violence is not the way to go. You know, being the first person that, you know, swings or being the first person that starts the fight is a pussy move and all that kind of stuff. I see where you're coming from, but is that a idea of you're just not being competent enough and capable of hurting another person to defend yourself and other people around you? Or is this coming from a place that you truly do know what you're capable of doing? You just don't want to harm other people because of how much you know you are capable of doing it. There's a big difference between that. And we certainly don't have that.
Yeah. You guys really woke me up to this too when I first met you guys. It's realizing how much surface level disrespect people in America, especially younger guys, do to each other. Like the little remarks and the jokes. Oh, I'm joking, bro. We're just joking. And everyone's just a clown. Everyone's just making fun of each other. Everyone's just disrespecting each other at such a surface level. And what that comes from is just insecurity itself from the inner. Like, if someone's out there calling like these shots out, these like surface level disrespects, it's something that's going on within them. And they're just constantly just projecting that out to other people. Right. And with like what you said, it's like if someone disrespects your girl in public, it's like, are you really going to be like, thank you, bro. Like, shake his hand. Be like, oh, dude, it's okay. Like, we're good now. Like,
or joke back with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're joking, right? Like, please be joking, bro. I don't really want to start.
No anything. Girl's going to feel good about that. No girl's going to feel secure, nor are they going to feel good about the fact that their man can't talk back, can't defend the girl that's next to them. Because let's think about it. Whether the girl wants to admit or not, they're not physically stronger than a guy. No guy, no man that will approach a woman that is there to hurt them won't succeed. Probably like what, 90% of the times they will succeed, or 95. That's how high it is because of our physical strength. Men are capable of doing that. And if a woman doesn't have that kind of man next to them that will defend them, there are two women out there. That's just what it comes down to, you know what I mean? And you definitely don't want to have that.
I've seen this video of this, you know, those people, like those pranksters that go out in public and just like completely harass people and just like, they just like kind of talk shit.
And then they get slept around.
Yeah. And I saw this one where this guy was, there's this couple and they're chilling. Like, this guy's arm around his girl. Like, they're out, like they're in public. And this one guy in like this like weird ass costume comes up and just like asking the girl, like, yo, like, are you safe? Like, are you okay? Like just kind of messing with the guy, like thinking that like he's like doing something like to make her. Like,
okay.
To make
and there's a boyfriend with her, right?
Yeah, the boyfriend's like right there next to her, and he like the guy's just ignoring him and stuff like that. But then the guy, like his girl, the girlfriend's guy, like gets up and starts getting like rowdy with the guy. It's like, yo, like what the fuck are we doing here? Like, why are you doing this? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And people in the comment section, like, dude, if you really want to see how fucked up people are, read comment sections. They're the worst thing ever. It's like people are like, oh, this guy must be insecure. Oh, crazy, right? This guy, oh, like, it's like, oh, I would have, like, people are just like, they're just mindless in the comments talking about, oh, this guy's insecure. Yeah, they definitely broke up after this.
And that's insecurity itself, right?
Yeah.
And dude, like, I'm glad that you mentioned that last part. Oh, they probably broke up after that. You know what's the crazy thing about that? Girls nowadays don't find a man like that attractive who will defend the girl in front of them, are going to stand up for her.
Because they can't take a joke.
Yeah, exactly. They're insecure. They can't take a joke. They're too serious. These type of nonsense. And now girls are attracted to complete opposite. Girls want to be that masculine person in the relationship. They want to be that person that now is all of a sudden able to defend themselves, even physically, when the guy next to them is supposed to do that. Because I truly think that in order for there to be that perfect polarity between male and female, the man has to be that person that defends her when he's there for her. When he's not there, that's a different story. When he's there, he certainly needs to be the man of the situation, doing his role of defending her and being that man in the situation. Not the other way around. It just doesn't feel right. It's not right. And it's never going to be the case where, you know, a girl will just defend themselves better than a man will. I mean, nowadays, it's just so weird because, you know, as you can see, sometimes women are more masculine than guys. But the idea is when it comes to physical defending and being that strong person who stands up for what is right, men need to really take control. And every person that's watching this video, I think, should have an inspiration and motivation to go out there and really do that. Because if you're not going to be the person that takes the step to, you know, becoming that person, becoming that man in your life, then you will walk around as a woman. Like, it really, just that's what it's going
to
lead to.
Like, imagine these pranksters in, like, times during, like, knights and, like, kings and stuff like that. Like, they're just, these pranksters go to, like, some, like, knight and his girl, and he's just like, yo, like, oh, are you okay? Like, that motherfucker's getting slain. Like, he's getting killed. He's getting hanged. Like, he's getting, like, hurt out in public. Like, the knight doesn't care. It's like,
even
bro,
if
like,
he says it's a joke, chivalry. It's a joke. Boom. Cut his head off.
You just ruined my honor. Like, you just kind of disrespected me. Like, let's duel. Like, right now. Right in this space and stuff like that. Right? And nowadays, oh, like, you must be so insecure if you really want to say something to that guy. He's just joking. It's a joke, bro. Why can't you take a joke? It's like, so brother, your life is a joke. That's just what it comes
Dude,
down
clowns,
to.
Clowns right now online are the ones that are getting the support, all right? Like, if you see, that's like, even...
Talk about
even,
this last episode.
Exactly. I even touched up on this episode. That's why I do not really like the approach with the pranksters do, because it's like, they do some brainless stuff, and then there's the ones that... They are the ones that come out as a good guy, and the other guy is a bad guy, because apparently he couldn't take a joke. But maybe you went too far, you know what I mean? There's... I honestly don't see any motivation, any type of... like, this is my... Like, you know how YouTubers are like a prankster? They go like, this is what I wanted to do all the time. I achieved my goal. Well, your goal was to mess with people, and so brainless people could watch your videos? Is that what you're really... Is that what your purpose really is? So how much you could prank someone, how far you can go to the point that you can piss other people off? And then in the comment section, those are people that are going to obviously support you, because they're also clowns. I mean, a clown will be supported by a clown, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, not a serious person will say...
And then now it's a community of bunch of clowns, bunch of people who are just making fun of themselves, and they're enjoying that. They are the clowns who are being laughed at, and they enjoy that. They're okay with it. They're completely
exactly
good with that.
Technically, the pranksters are the ones turning those people into clowns. This is all for the people that do pranks. I don't know. It's like, it's really what it comes down to. I mean, what are you really teaching these people? I mean, if someone's really lost in life, you know, they don't know what their purpose is, and then they see you doing this, and they see that you're making a lot of money. Guess what their drive is? Let's make money. This is so super easy. Let's go out and mess with people. I mean, we do that in school, bro. Why don't we just do it on YouTube? It's going to be super easy. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not giving them any inspiration on a good thing. I mean, on a note, like, they're going to make money. They're going to, what's it called? Get a lot of subscribers, but they are not doing anything good. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a shame. I feel like nowadays too, like with guys, like, we have no emotional, like, control over ourselves. I'm telling you, like, when I was in high school, like, I was so reactive. I was just a victim of, like, all my emotional patterns. And we are never taught this at all in the education system, how to emotionally be intelligent. When you start learning this when you're in middle school, start learning that, hey, just because you feel something doesn't mean you have to act upon it. Just because you have thoughts, this, like, specific thoughts, doesn't mean that is you thinking those thoughts.
Right.
We don't learn these things.
We did take psychology class, remember?
But yeah.
I remember the teacher was awesome. Like, I'll be honest, he was a really good teacher, everything. But I know it's not him that decides what he's going to teach us. It's the school system that where they want to put as far as, like, the studies and the homeworks, right? But, like, they were never going deep with, like, how the thoughts come, or, like,
you know, what do they talk about?
Dude, they were just doing a bunch of studies that I remember. They would just do, like, for example, one that I remember is, like, you know how they do, like, experimental labs on, like, rats or whatever? And, like, we had to read that, and then there was, like, a bunch of questions we needed to answer. But it was never that deep, like, we're talking right now, you know what I mean?
Like shadow work, like, stuff like that.
Exactly. Like, yeah, like, how your mind works, right? Like, that your thoughts are in your thoughts, yeah. And that whatever you think is actually, like, whatever you think is who you're going to become, and all this, like, deep stuff, you know what I mean? Like, they weren't really teaching us in the school system. But I mean, I'm not saying like it was totally bad, because like in a way, when you're reading this stuff and you're doing the homeworks, and even when you're reading the observing the experiments, how it went, right, you're kind of getting an idea of a psychological and how people think and how your mind thinks. But it's never going that when it's never diving deep, you know what I mean? Because there might be some people that are just looking at us, oh, it's just a psychological class, like it's just nothing deep, but it's very deep, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like it's the whole problem with the school. I don't even want to get to that, but like the idea is that we did learn a lot of things. I feel like, I mean, I personally, it did help me with, to be honest, a lot of things, because then I'm like, yo, like I started kind of researching about psychology and all this stuff, and kind of got the idea of like all the stuff that I know now about human psychology. So it did help me. I don't know if other people are doing the same thing, research and stuff. I doubt it, but
I would suggest Jordan Peterson to everybody who wants to really dive deep into psychology. He's the man.
Dude, you know that story. I mean, you can share. This is kind of connected with it. Remember how he talks about there's a difference between being a nice
guy. Winning a good guy, yeah, and a nice guy, yeah. Yeah. I'll definitely touch up on that. But before I do that, I think it's very important that Mike brought up the whole emotional, being emotionally aware and having emotional control. Because my first suggestion to somebody who is that weak man that we just described, the person who... my suggestion to somebody who is that weak man that, as we described, and somebody that, you know, is weak to defend themselves, let alone anybody else, I think you should join some kind of martial arts sport. Do judo, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing.
Start training, MMA. Like just at least move the body.
Yeah, start training, but, you know, be able to throw punches, you know, hang a punching bag. Go to a gym and, you know, learn how to defend yourself. Learn the skills to what to do when somebody gets close to you, attacks you, you know, goes for the legs to take you down. Learn how to defend yourself, because, you know, the second somebody tackles you, you will find yourself on the ground in seconds if you don't know what to do. And it's just these little things that matter sometimes, because it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a warrior. And that's such a good quote, same as, it's better to have a skill and not need it than need it and not have it. These are the little
things. David said that, right?
Yeah, David said that. Shout out to David. And, you know, these are the things that when you do think about, when you attain these skills, you don't necessarily have to put that in practice. I know a lot of things that is defending and attacking. I haven't used that in a long time. But I do know for sure that if somebody tries to do something, I know how to defend myself. I know how to respond back with the action. That's what you need to have as a person, you know what I mean? And this is where emotional control comes in. You don't need to act that out every single time something happens. Every time somebody insults you, you don't necessarily have to insult them back. I think sometimes the best scenario is when somebody, let's say, responds with hate or anger, you do the opposite. You show them love, you show them a peace, you show them like being a nicer person, that type of thing. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You always have to, you can always find alternative. But I've found personally that is really the best way sometimes, because people project what they feel. People project, the hurt people, that type of thing. You know, they try to get to you emotionally. When they have negativity, that's just what they speak. Whatever your mind and your heart tells you, you kind of speak that out and you project that onto other people. That's why those are the people that, if anything, need the most help, need the most love and that type of thing. And when you have that emotional control, you're not reacting on their emotions back to them. You're taking their emotions, understanding where that comes from, and you respond properly as you should. So just because you know how to hurt somebody and you are strong enough to like freaking beat the shit out of somebody doesn't mean you need to do that. If anything, you need to understand that because you're capable of doing that, you need to now tell that person and teach them that if they
say something, they better be able to, you know, act on that. Because if somebody comes up to you and insults you, you better tell them that, hey, bro, if you're willing to insult, are you also willing to defend yourself if I come in and try to beat the shit out of you, that type of thing, you know what I mean? And that usually scares people off because they understand.
Then they're like, it's a joke.
Yeah, they right away just say, oh, it's a joke, there's nothing bad between us, it was just the words they said, because people are not holding themselves accountable for the words anymore. People don't hold themselves accountable for the actions that they do. And this is all coming from incompetence, not being able to have the skills to have the self-control, not having wisdom, the knowledge that what you say has consequences, what you do has consequences. People think that they're going to get away with everything. And that's why sometimes teaching somebody the best lesson that I've also learned is to watch my mouth. Every time I said something when I was young, and I, especially with adults, you know, you get slapped a little bit. And especially if you go up to somebody that's random and try to disrespect them or trash talk them, you get a couple smacks in the face, you understand that, okay, now I need to really control myself. And you know the boundaries. People here especially, like, they just go on rapid of just disrespecting you. And they have, like, they can do nothing about it. They just talk. And then when it comes to actually them backing up with what they say, it's very unlikely. And it's just not just in America, but it's just what I've seen in America the most. Especially today's society, that's just what's going on. People are not used to it. When was the last time you got in a fight? I certainly haven't been in a fight, like an actual fight, probably for
I'm not around those types of people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like anymore. But it's not school anymore, right?
Right, exactly. It's not school anymore. But what I'm trying to say is that people are not involved in situations where things are serious. People are not involved in situations where, you know, you're standing up for what's right. You're standing up for things that you believe. Because now people just conform. People just say what's going to make somebody else feel good. So they shy away from conflict. They shy away from any type of situation where things get heated, like debate or something. People are like, you're right, I'm also right. There's nothing we need to be arguing about. And you know, both of them leave the situation with pretty much knowing nothing. Because if you already know what you knew, what'd you learn? Nothing. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I think it's very important that you really physically prepare yourself and you know, apply physical activity in your life and be able to defend yourself, as well as being able to learn how to really be the dangerous person, a savage person, and learn to control that. Learn to, you know, tame that beast inside of you, type of thing, and have that emotional control. If you don't have that control, then, you know, even throughout histories, we've seen kings, we've seen all the leaders that have been so strong and they have abused that power and then have, you know, hurt a lot of people, have destructed the whole world, the whole nation, because of, you know, their leadership skills and being able to manipulate people because of their ability. They could either influence and motivate people to become the best versions of themselves, or they could use that wisdom, the psychology, to dumb people down. And, you know, some of them...
We've seen both, yeah.
Exactly, we've seen both. And some of them have really destructed the nation because of not being able to emotionally really be wise. What would you guys have to say about, like, emotional control with what's going on? It's all about feelings nowadays, you know?
It's all about feelings. And, like, when it comes to being a man, you got to start becoming a man of your word. You have to start being like, I'm going to start waking up early and then do it. Right. That's it. There's no and if or buts. There's no, like, in the morning you dabble with, like, you start making a decision. Like, no, decisions is made. You've made a decision to start waking up early, and that's a thing that you should stick to.
Right.
So it's... I feel like a lot of us lie to ourselves nowadays and stuff. We say we want to do things. We say that we want to change, but deep down, it's like we don't even try. We don't put any effort into it. And so
right.
I feel like guys nowadays should start becoming man of their own word, right? Start being like, I'm going to do this, and then you do it. I'm going to go to the gym today, and I'm going to hit arms, and then you go and do it.
Exactly.
And start stacking up those small wins and start becoming a man of your word, because not only do you become competent, but you also get like respect from people. People will trust you. People will be able to lean on you. And that's what being a man is about, being able to provide for others, being a force, being that mountain people can lean on. So that's why, like, the first, like, if you want to do anything, if you want to do some practical, like, steps, start becoming a man of your word. Start saying, I'm going to go to the gym X amount of times a week, and then you do it. And then that's all you focus on, right? You focus on a few things, a few habits, start getting better habits, start getting rid of the old, and just start becoming a man of your word.
Yeah, I think that is very important, because every time I think you don't do what you said you were going to do, not only you respect for yourself the most, but other people pick up on that too. Because then you just go around say, if somebody says, yo, like, I think we should hang out, or yo, like, let's plan something, or yo, can you, you know, do this for me? They're like, you're like, yeah, I'll do this, all that kind of stuff. And then months go by, weeks go by, and nothing happens. Like, you just said something just to say it, just to, you know,
make someone happy,
make somebody happy, or make them feel like, yeah, you're going to take action on it. But then you didn't back it up with any action. People now don't trust you. People don't think that you are somebody that has responsibility and holds themselves accountable on what they say. And people don't really ask you for anything anymore because they already know that you're not a man over your word. And, you know,
you're just a clown. Exactly. You're a jokester because you just joke around all the time.
You just say things but not really back it up. And that's why it's important that as a man, if you say something, do it. If you're not willing to do it, then you better also be brave enough to say, I don't want to do it because I don't think it's right. I don't want to do it because I got something else to do. Don't say, yeah, I will do it, and then not show up to something. You know what I mean? At least have the balls to speak up what you think is right, what you will do, than just to lie to somebody's face just to get away with it. You know what I mean? Because you're technically not getting away with it because you said something and you didn't act on it. Now the person knows. So either way, it's a loss situation. You lied once, and then now you didn't act on it. That's like, you lie twice, to yourself and to somebody else. I might as well just speak on what you actually think. Think about the situation. Because nowadays you see that a lot. Like, people conform, people just say things to make other people feel good. That's why we don't have people that are authentic anymore. People don't feel like they're themselves. People don't know who they are because they haven't really practiced what it's like being yourself and what it's really like standing up for what you think. You might be wrong in a situation. You might realize after a day that fast that, okay, you know, I think what I did there was wrong. But who were you at the moment? Were you your authentic self? Did you truly think that what you were saying felt right, felt true at the moment? You know what I mean? Were you just uneducated about something, but at the moment you really, like, in your head, had that certain situation right? And you were willing to stand up for it, not in a way that's ignorant, but in a way that's also humble and also gentle. But then at the same time, not hiding the fact that you think the way you do. You know what I mean? Not trying to be that person that comes out as scared on what they think and how are other people going to react, who's going to judge me or not, that type of thing. No, you have to be willing to speak your mind, even if you're wrong. And then admitting that, okay, I was wrong, I'm sorry about that, is also a very good trait that you have, because it's okay to be wrong. That's how you learn, right? Everybody's wrong at some point. But if you don't act like yourself and if you never really speak the truth, speak your mind, nobody's really going to know who you truly are.
You're always lukewarm. Yeah, no one's like, you're always on the fence. You're always in the middle. You're always lukewarm. You're always subjective. You're one foot in, one foot out. Just, you're just like everyone else.
Yeah.
And I heard this really great quote from this guy named Earl Nightingale. Have you guys heard of him?
Who is it?
This guy named Earl Nightingale. He was a student of Napoleon Hill, which wrote Think and Grow Rich. Yeah. But I've been listening to a bunch of his audiobooks, a bunch of his audio recordings, and this one quote really sticks out. And he said, the opposite of courage is not discouraged, it's conformity. That's the opposite of courage, because when you gotta have the courage to go against what normal people do nowadays, you got to go against the crowd. That's what conformity is, going with the crowd, going the path of least resistance, going on that wide path that's laid out for everyone.
Yeah.
As a man, having courage and that bravery to set out on that hero's journey when you're the only one, you're the only person with that vision, you're the only person with that calling in life, and you can't
climbing that mountain.
Who's climbing that mountain? You're the only one, right? But other people, no, who cares about them? Stop trying to conform and have the courage to take on that call to adventure. So that quote was really good.
Is this the guy that says he wrote and recorded more than 7,000 radio programs, 250 audio programs, as well as television programs and videos. He's speaking also inspired many future motivational speakers like Alex Day.
Yeah, he's like an OG personal development guy. OG.
He's the OG self-improvement guru.
He wrote The Strangest Secret, and which is one of like the books that says The Strangest Secret is you become what you think about. That's one of the strangest secrets. He learned that from Napoleon Hill, and you know who wrote Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah, I've read that book. That's an amazing book.
Yeah, he has so many good things.
So he inspired Napoleon Hill to write
his book? Napoleon Hill inspired him to go out and do what he does.
Oh, okay.
Napoleon Hill's an OG too. He's him, Andrew Carnegie. You read the book, right?
Yeah. Dude, he speaks about like a lot of things that are just very wise and wisdom related.
The Way of the Positive? No, what was it? The Positive
Thing? Think and Grow Rich is his book.
Think and Grow Rich. It's like...
But I'm pretty sure he has other popular books.
He had a different
book
too. We read it.
The Power of Positive
Thinking. Napoleon Hill?
The Power of the Positive Thinking or something like that. It was...
Probably.
Remember
Let
that
me see.
Like, thin book that we read? The Power of the Positive Thinking or something like that. There's something like that, like positive thinking.
Yeah, I remember that. The Power of Positive Thinking, yeah. It could probably be from him. The Power of Positive Thinking. No, Norman Vincent wrote that
Vincent
book.
Pale.
But he's also a G.
Okay. Maybe I remember wrong. But
the Power of Positive.
Dude, no, hold up.
But masculinity, like, it really comes down to just taking that call to adventure, taking on that purpose, taking on that mission that you're being called towards.
100%.
If you have a desire, roll with that towards something that will be meaningful. Like, it's okay to go against what your parents think. It's okay to go against what the education system thinks. It's okay to be the outcast. It's okay to be looked down upon while you're grinding. It's okay to...
Be looked at as weird.
Be looked at as weird. Like, I literally have people at like this one kid at my work. He's like my bus boy. And he literally said to me, he's like, you're just in your own reality. Like, he's like, you're just in your own world.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I just said, yeah, I have no choice but to be. I'm called to something. And I'm not going to conform to anything, right?
Yeah.
But take that, you mean that narrow path, the narrow, yeah.
I think it's amazing because it's such a blessing to be that person that, you know, God just calls out and says, all right, I want you to go on this path. It's lonely. You don't really see much. You're going to go through a lot of failures, a lot of doubts, but I've called you on this path because you are going to be that person that is the light to the world and that will bring people to wake up to reality, wake up to the things that they actually have potential in. And, you know, that's one of our goals too, to set people free from the societal norms, set them free from the things that the world has set out for them that are meaningless, the things that are just chasing pleasure and, you know, being selfish that really leads to serving nobody else but yourself. That doesn't lead to anything. Like, you can have all the money you want, but you're still going to be depressed. You're still going to be that. That's why there's so many people that are suicidal, but they have all that money. Money's not the cure. It never was. It never will be. It's not what cures you. It's that relationship with God who calls you to that journey, to that action that he wants you to take, that he's given you to make the world a better place, to serve him with love, and to serve other people with love, to transfer that love that God has given you, that blessing, and then bless other people because you have that blessing. You have gone on that journey, on that path to learn everything that you went through, which are the hardships as a masculine man and as a man you should. And then now you go and help other people, serve other people and make a world a better place, change the world to a positive light. So I know you wanted me to go over like the difference between a good guy and a nice guy. I think it's very important that people understand the difference between being a good guy and a nice guy. I remember when I first heard this, it didn't make much sense because it's like when you're a good guy, you're so nice guy. But no, there's a deep idea behind all of it. What is your understanding on the difference between a good guy and a nice guy?
Look, I'm going to explain that, right? But I want you to tell the audience what you told me, what Jordan Peterson said.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because he said it very good. And Well, I kind of know what like what it is, right? Like,
yeah.
The difference between them. I don't want to spoil it. I want you to tell it because I know what it is. You know what I mean? I'll touch on it after you say it, but I want you to tell it.
I watched that video a couple weeks ago. Have you seen that video when Jordan Peterson explains, you know, the difference between being a nice guy and a good guy and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. That's talked about in the Hard Times, Great Strong Men.
100%, yeah. There's a lot of books. Even, I'm pretty sure The Way of the Superior Man kind of touches up on that too a little bit. Not directly, but you get the idea. Jordan Peterson does a lot of videos where he really like exposes this side of nice guys and nice people. But in reality, the psychology of that nice person is very accurate when you actually take into a perspective and have reflected on your actions when you were this person that just wasn't competent and all that kind of stuff. So he pretty much says, so here's the good guy, right? A good guy knows he's a savage, he's cruel, he has that monster in him that is able to do a lot of harmful things. Like, you're capable of doing it. You know, you're not afraid of necessarily anybody challenging you. You're not afraid of anybody confronting you, because you are a person that knows that when it comes to taking action, you got it. You got the inventory. You are competent. A nice guy is somebody who is deceitful, tries to please everybody else, just to look good in everybody's eyes, being that nice person. But because they're not competent, because they're not honest, because they're not truthful, and they're not strong, that's all they can be. They don't have any other option. You have to be a nice person. You have to display yourself as this nice guy. And for the most part, they are the backstabbers. As soon as they get the opportunity to step, backstab you, they will use that opportunity, because guess what? They can't face you face to face, nor can they really confront you face to face. So they will do is, that's why you see a lot of some people, like, you know, talking bad stuff behind your back, because they can't say it to your face. And then you will have to hear it from somebody else and all that kind of stuff, because they can't confront that and confront you face to face. That's where the nice guy and the good guy diverge. Good guy is the person who has the skills, who is the competent person, who has that monster in him, but has the monster under control. That's what makes him good. Because when you have the choice of knowing that you are capable of doing harm, but you choose not to, because you are making a decision between doing good or using your strength to only your advantage and hurt other people, you know, you have to make that decision. And when you don't have that monster, so to speak, under control, the monster is controlling you, because that's how much strength he has over you. Physical strength, mental and psychological and spiritual strength is a big blessing and a big strength that you can misuse and, you know, I guess, do the bad in the world. Because these are not the type of skills that everybody has. Only few people do. And when you really have that, you have a decision to make. Do you use that for your advantage, for your own selfishness, or do you go out there and help people with the skills that you have? But, and that's what it is. Like, you are controlling those emotions, those things that you have, the strength. And then a nice guy is just somebody that, no matter what it is, they're just really not capable of being that monstrous person, being that person who's able to hurt somebody. So they don't really have much options there. All they have to do is just displace themselves as a nice person. But in reality, they're not good. They're just nice because that's all they can be. Good is a decision you make. Goodness is a free will. It's a free choice. You don't have to be good. You choose to be good. But nice, I mean, when you're a bad person, you don't want to go and show people that you're a bad guy. You want to display yourself as a nice person. Goodness and nice, that's where he kind of
exactly differentiated Jordan them. Peters is just an intelligent person.
Yeah,
like he thinks very, very far, because if you look at those two words, they are same, because you can also call a good guy a nice guy and a nice guy a good guy, right? But he dives deep into the difference. Okay, look, he basically compared a nice with a good, right? But
yeah.
Like, you could also, like, but it would just be very complicated for you to compare two people and say, this is a good guy and this is also a good guy. But look, there's a difference. This guy's traits are this and this. And then there's this guy whose traits are yeah, he acts nice, but at the same time, it's weak. He's weak, that's why he's able to, or not able
that's
to,
why
but
he that's acts why he's the way, acting yeah.
this way. Now, look, you see this guy can actually hurt you if you do something to him, but he, guess what? He chooses to control his emotions right. and not, like, leash that, what's it called?
Yeah, unleash the monster.
The monster that... That everybody
because he
has,
knows what he's capable of
you
doing.
Think about it. Every just like how everybody has good and evil, they have the monster and then they have the good side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's whether you can control that or not. Because the people that are not able to control that, I mean, yeah, in a way they can say, yeah, I'm strong, dude. I can beat up everybody, right? But like at the same time, you have to be able to control it because not everything needs to be
used all the time
in an aggressive manner. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Yeah. Because then it's controlling you.
Like, we were talking about fighting, right? Like, it doesn't have to be, oh, like, it's been such a long time since I fought someone, right? But it's like, when you know how to defend yourself, right? And
yeah.
somebody comes up and tries to start something with you, right? You're standing there confident, knowing that if he comes at you, you're going to do something, like, you're going to be able to defend
yeah.
yourself. He's going to feel that. It's called a presence, feeling presence of someone. And feeling
what
that,
they call aura now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like feeling their energy, right?
And that's true, very true.
Yeah, exactly. So when they feel that energy coming towards from you, they're not going to come mess with you. But when they feel that energy that you are scared of them and that they know that you're not going to be able to defend yourself, then they're going to come and get you. And we know that we live in an evil world. Nobody's
yeah.
nice, like not nobody, but a lot of people are not nice, you know what I mean? They're not going to think, they're going to have a second thought of, should I hurt this guy? Should I steal from him? Should I... what's it called? Talk shit behind his
yeah.
back or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's not the world we live in, you know what I mean? So that's why we need to be able to defend ourselves when necessary. I mean, you can call 911, right? But it's like before police gets in your house and there's a robber in your house, like, what are you doing?
What are you going
to
do?
You got to do something, right? You got to take him down. You got to use your strength to do something about it.
Right.
So when you don't have that, it's very hard to rely on something that's, like the outside force. Because
exactly.
it is outside force. I mean, they are coming in, getting you, but it's still an outside force because you're waiting for them to get in.
Exactly. You don't know how long it's going to take them.
They're not flesh. They can't just snap their fingers and get in your house. They need time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like obviously necessary in some situations where you can't be 100%. Hard-headed and be like, oh, I got this and I'll do everything.
Yeah.
But I think most of the times, as a human, as a man,
yeah.
you have to be sure enough to know that you're going to be able to defend yourself and not pick up the phone and call 911.
Yeah.
One of the biggest psyops is that the nice guy is like favored in like movies and like TV shows. Like, oh, like this nice guy, like the jock has this girl that he wants and he's just like obsessing over her. At the end of the movie, he falls in love with the girl that was with the jock now and she's with him because he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, right.
But that's really just another agenda, another psyop that people put in place for us to get programmed a certain way, to be the nice guy, to be the weak person who's not capable, and just to be nice, because that's all we do have.
Yeah. I'm really glad you said that, because look, it really does come down to agenda. Even what social media can do, it can brainwash you to think that, okay, now because this guy acted the way he did, and he stood up against a bully, and now this girl doesn't like him, or the girls are bashing on him, therefore I can't be that guy, because if I am that guy, then the girls will do the same to me, and then now you start conforming and acting not according to your true self, but according to what's gonna attract the girls to you. That's not what matters at the end of the day, right? Now you're losing yourself for the gain of what? Something that doesn't last forever at all. But you get to keep your integrity, your honor, and yourself that, okay, I think the way I do think because I want to think this way and I am willing to stand up for what I think. And that's why you see a lot of, as social media rose and it got a lot of attention, people started to conform. People started to, you know, give in to the temptation of just losing themselves in the process towards gaining something. You know what I mean? And that's a big issue. That's one of the things that you need to control, is if you can't control things that you're influenced by, you get influenced by anything. You're going to watch a movie, you're going to watch something, and you're not going to be able to, I guess, necessarily call out the good side of it and the bad side. You're just going to take everything in and be influenced by everything. You need to have a filter of like having virtues, morals, conviction towards things, and say, okay, this is a commitment that I've made in my life. These are the commandments from God that I'm willing to keep, and I'm not letting anybody or anything take me away from it. If you don't have that, you're controlled by anything and anyone, the society.
100%. Yeah. I agree.
Should we get into like how they should start
like putting that into practice?
How do I put this? How they should almost like people that are even like 1 hour. 1 hour, yeah. People that are like lazy or like they are how do I say, they don't have purpose almost, you know what I mean? Like how to
approach a situation where they're not like very purpose
driven. How to come more like men that used to serve the country, like masculine men, how they should become that man.
They stop being a dopamine junkie.
I wrote some things down.
Go for it.
I said, find purpose. That's number one thing, right? Find what you want to, what your calling is. What do you want to do?
Like, what are you good at?
Do things towards your goal, right? Like, keep on putting the action in, not just saying that I will do this. Like, actually do things, because doing that things, like we said in the beginning, is the one that shapes you into masculine, being a masculine man.
Yeah.
Say no to things, you know what I mean? Like, you have to start to... You have to learn to say no to things, right? Even if you can, like, let's say somebody calls you, let's go hang out. Even if you have time, choose to read a book instead of going out and having fun, right? Like, do those stuff on the weekends, right? Yeah. If it's a weekday, keep yourself busy as much as possible, you know what I mean? Struggle. So the reason why I put this is because waking up early in the morning is a struggle. Going to the gym is a struggle. Reading a book is a struggle. Because instead of scrolling, you're reading a book. You need to be concentrating, right?
Taking a cold shower in the morning.
Taking a cold shower in the morning, yeah.
Doing push-ups, some kind of activity in the morning when you wake up.
Like keeping yourself busy is like a struggle, you know what I mean? Instead of just having an easy life. All these people that are at school over the spring break, and maybe instead of saying, oh, look, we're so tired from school. No, you're not, because you're not doing anything in school. So don't just say, oh, this is a break for me now. Like, what are you doing in school, right? Like, realistically, 90% of people in school, they're on their phones. They don't listen to the teacher. Now the break comes on, and they're saying, oh, we're tired from the school. What are you really like to?
No. You're tired from doing something that doesn't feel right to you. That's all.
Spring break should be the time where you
cry. It is draining, though. I mean, going to school and just, like, being 100%. There. It's like you're like a prison. Like, you're trapped and constrained for so long. Right. You just feel so drained after.
Yeah. So you feel tired from... not necessarily like exercising your authentic self and truly, you know, given the opportunity to do what you need, what you want to pursue. Rather, you get all these rules set out for yourself, and you get to get come on this time at this specific time, sit in a class and listen to the teacher and be the NPC. And this can be draining. This is draining. It's whenever you're...
Well, technically speaking, scrolling is draining too. That's why they feel tired.
Of course,
gaming is draining. I mean, it's like, let's not put the blame on the school, but let's...
The
let's,
system, let's put it, the I'm talking the, about the system itself, but I think it's very important that, yeah,
but they're draining their own selves too. I mean, like, if I'm going to school, right, and they're teaching history, right, like, why do you think most of the people don't know history? Yeah, they can blame it on the...
Oh, yeah, 100%. System, but dude, pay attention, right?
Like, history is in that type of class where you're going to get bored, right? You're really not. I mean, like, it's like you need to know these little things that can, like, even right now we know history of masculine men. Therefore, we can kind of be a masculine man. We can go towards that right now. If you haven't learned anything in history class and you don't want to pay attention, of course, you're not going to have that knowledge, right? So, like, school system isn't, like, totally, like...
Right.
The doom, right? They're just scrolling. That's why they're what's it called? Drained.
Right. And yeah, nobody
can. The thing I wrote was
force you out of the seat.
Get used to comfortable being uncomfortable. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Same thing. What I mean by that is, I mean, obviously it's like no one realistically, like, this saying isn't like straight up, like, you know what I mean? It's not like you're really comfortable doing things that are comfortable. You're not. You can never be comfortable doing things that are uncomfortable. You're just getting used to it, because now when something comes up, and instead of going to a party, you're going to work or you're going to gym, right? Those are
it's a lifestyle. Things, it's a discipline. Exactly,
those are things that are uncomfortable in your head because your temptation is taking you, but you're strong enough to not go through the, or not go
not give
towards the temptation. Yeah. So that's what, I think that's what it means, right? Like, it's not as broad as it is said. And make your life hard. Try to have hard life, a hard time. You know what I mean? Like, always keep yourself busy and struggle. You know what I mean? Like, I think struggle is a beautiful thing.
Challenge yourself. Yeah. Challenge yourself every now and then.
When you say struggle, I mean, some people will look at that and be like, why would I put myself through so much mental pain and so much like suffering? But when they don't realize that right there is a blessing. That right there is the experience that you want to experience. Yeah. Is suffering, is the failure. But we've been programmed to associate these things like suffering and failure with something negative, super negative. Like when you failed a test in school, your parents would ridicule you. Your friends will make fun of you. All of a sudden, you're so afraid to fail. You do not want to take that next step at all because you're just so afraid of it. So it's like I don't, like, how would you guys?
The life teaches you that failure is a lesson. A failure is a good thing. Learn to fail. Embrace failure. The school system teaches you the opposite. Don't fail or else you'll be miserable in life. You won't achieve anything. Don't fail or you'll get a bad grade. Don't get a bad grade because your parents are going to get upset with you. They're going to be disappointed with you. They're going to take X and Y away from you. Don't fail because when your parents get mad at you, now you feel worthless. You don't want to go through anything like that. So what do? You cheat your way through getting better grades, somehow lying to your parents, you know, coming up with the ways to not fail. So you will go on cheat and ask for the type of help that is you not putting any effort into it, but copying. You know what I mean? So you get a good grade and then you get praised for cheating. You get praised for the things that they don't see behind the closed door. And now you're a good guy for cheating. You're a good guy for getting good grades. But when you failed and you truly tried and you tried to do your best with your efforts, you're a failure. It's such a weird dynamic.
And then
when
you leave the school system and then you're like in real life, now you can't cheat anymore because everything you have to build based like, or with the help that you have and the knowledge you have within yourself right now, you're like, oh, dude, I can't copy from anyone now. I mean, how are you going to copy from like someone waking up early in the morning? Like, how are you physically going to do that, right? You can't.
So, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying the school system's like kind of setting you up for it, but they have to be teaching kids this fundamental things that copying isn't necessarily a bad thing in a way that because you're getting a grade or you're not getting a grade, but it's because it's not going to help you in the long run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like, are you asking for help? Right. Are you asking for help from your classmate or from your peer because you're learning in the process, or are you copying from them so you don't do anything because you don't do anything and you don't want to put any type of effort into it just so the teacher can write A on there? I really think that it's a good idea that copying is frowned upon in schools. It's a good thing because you should not be copying from somebody else because it's a easy way out. But I also don't think that somebody failing should be frowned upon, because if anything, it should be embraced. It should be the fact that, all right, now you learn. Look at your mistakes.
Now you have a lot to learn.
Yeah. You know your levels. Now learn.
And
put in effort.
Something I realized with this too is like, even when you think about personal development, you would think when you first start, like, oh, like, I'm just trying to fix my life a little bit. I'm just trying to put a few habits in and then I'll be happy. But when you truly try to chase growth and chase fulfillment, you realize like you can't just reach just one perfect dream life and then that's it. Oh, yeah. You'll be nice and comfortable now. You don't have to work as hard anymore. Because that's the PSYOP. That's the PSYOP nowadays. Like, you retire and then, oh, you just rest and be comfortable for the rest of your life. But that's how you kill a man, is that you just give him nothing to do. And
you
take
away his mission. You take away his duty.
Exactly. And for the people who are really successful, who have like materialistic things, some things like I heard from some of these people who truly are on a path of like personal development is that the things that they have are simply just a byproduct.
Exactly.
Of the work, the things they suffered for and the things they put in. They weren't probably thinking, how can I just, I want the yacht. Once I get the yacht, I'm good. Like, no, like getting the car, having a nice place, being able to afford healthy foods, being able to have a team around you are simply a byproduct of your suffering.
Yeah. And that's what they preach. Money's nothing. Don't chase money because it's meaningless. Mm-hmm. Chase your purpose. Money will come with it. Don't focus on money. Money is the byproduct of your work.
That's what they preach. I mean, Luke Belmar and Nate Belmar are probably those two people that I've heard a lot talk about that stuff in terms of financial. It's like, money doesn't make you happy. Money's not the end goal. It should never be. Even Lance Bachman, we had on our podcast, he actually preaches that a lot too, that money won't buy you happiness. Money is not going to make you happy. Money is the byproduct. You shouldn't chase money. You have to chase being the best version of yourself, climbing up that mountain to, you know, fulfill those goals that you set for yourself, and the money will just come with it.
Like, dude, I just imagine just a person who's like climbing a mountain, and he's not sitting there thinking, he's sitting there thinking about growth. How can I get to the next platform, or how can I just get better at climbing this wall? And when you just focus on just growth and resistance, because I read this one thing too, it's if you have resistance towards something, that's a good thing, because that's how you know you care about it. How you know that is like the barrier between you and like the next level.
Yeah.
And so you need to push past the resistance, because if you didn't care, you wouldn't have resistance. You wouldn't care for it.
Because there would be no challenge. It would just all be easy, and you would always choose an easy way out, because the easy way doesn't really lead to anything.
Exactly. And look, when I, like today, like I had a really hard leg workout, and I just, like, I feel so tired and cooked from it. But the thing is, it's like all your workouts, even when it comes to working out, it's not going to always be this free flowing. Everything feels so good. It's all nice and happy. You're going through all the weights. Like, no, you should be like struggle.
Most of the times you have to push yourself.
You should push yourself. You should struggle. You should leave the gym being like, oh, like I've conquered myself. Like I feel exhausted and defeated, right? Yeah, like you could overtrain, but that's not the point. It's all about the mental.
Feels good, you know what I mean?
It does feel good.
When you come out of the gym or anything that you do, even work, right? And you're tired, and now you're like, I deserve to eat. I deserve to rest. You know what I mean? Versus when you go to the gym, you don't really work out because you're like, you're lazy, and then you come home and you're like, oh, it was a waste almost, or it's like, I don't really feel good because I didn't really work hard. You know what I mean? That thoughts hit you afterwards. Maybe it might not hit you while you're doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, oh, I'm lazy, whatever. I can just cheat my way out of it. I can just do little reps just so you can count that I went to the gym, and then you come home, and then it hits you afterwards. So it's always to like, instead of struggle. And with that struggle thing, it's also mentioned in Hard Times Create Strong Men, which I wrote down. Saying, and it's by Dante Alighieri, I think that's how you pronounce his name. The path to paradise begins in hell. Yeah. And I also connected with a Bible verse. I don't know how accurate it is, but I tried my best. From Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and the broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And I think to like first cover up from the Hard Times Create Strong Men is the path to paradise begins in hell. And my vision of that is that, and everything that is hard is like hell, you know what I mean? Like everything that is hard to achieve is through struggle. Everything that is easy, right? It's just like, it's very easy to access. It's even accepted by society too, right?
Yeah.
And like the thing I connected from the Bible is also talking about the fact that the path that is narrow is something that a lot of people think from a perspective that it's not that serious. You shouldn't take it that serious. It's right.
It's hard to walk on the narrow path.
And not a lot of people will take that path.
Yeah.
And then the wide one is going to be all happy, all like you're going to feel like you're in paradise. You feel like you're doing something right because you're living your life. You're a young guy. You go to parties. Yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, good job, bro. Like you're enjoying your life. You're living your life. But at the end of the road, there's nothing there. You know what I mean? Like it's all empty. But the narrow path feels empty. There's nothing on the way, right? There's no fun on the way. There's nothing like no rewards. But the reward, everything that is going to fulfill you is at the end, right? Which is heaven. So it's like that's where it connects with from the book of the path to paradise begins in hell, right? In order for you to succeed, you have to go through struggle.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's a very good connection that you made.
I think it's the best one I found.
Yeah, I think morals, my advice, if I had to give one of them myself too, you guys gave great ones, just to make a different one. I would definitely give moral advice, having morals and virtues, because that's part of my journey. When I first, you know, started to get on self-improvement,
you know, started reading the Bible, try to find God, get closer to God. You know, I was curious, okay, who is God? Like, what does God want from me? Or what is God calling me? And all that kind of stuff. These questions came up. I took the path of just doing things that are just moral, having convictions, you know, taking God's commandments seriously and living that and applying that into my life. If there was a situation I had to choose between drinking or not, I would say no to it. You know what I mean? I still don't enjoy alcohol, but the idea is I didn't drink. I held back from the temptation. Even with chasing girls, sex, these type of things, I had to say no to that. You know, I was like, all right, I'm going to be celibate. No sex before marriage. That's a commitment. That's a commitment that I have in my life. And that is honoring God, that I will have that after I get married. And things like even cursing, having a bad mouth.
Which you cursed a lot.
Right, like, what?
Which you were cursing a lot on this podcast.
I don't know, I wouldn't say that, but...
Passion.
I did say some things.
I did curse too. And
right, passion, right? But, yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing better than how we used to sound now, for sure.
No,
yeah.
Of course, but... We have to still in the mouth.
For sure. Definitely. There's always room for improvement, and I need to watch my mouth a little bit more.
They just saw live coping.
So, yeah, because for me, that's one of the things that helped me to become a man. Like, serving God and having that relationship with God for me was, like, the biggest stepping stone to becoming a masculine person, because now I understood that the Creator that I have a relationship with and somebody who loves me, I serve Him now. Somebody who created me, somebody who gave me that purpose, that meaning, the love in my life. Now I'm serving Him. I owe him everything. When I really understood the story of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us, took on our sins, I was like, that's love. There's nothing bigger love than that. So if I can just glorify His name, serve Him, be that person that walks on the path that He did, even though He got disrespected many times, even though He was rebuked for things that He did.
He did not conform.
He stayed true to what He was doing. His disciples were like, you don't have to go on the cross, die for sins. People were mocking Him when He was dying on the cross. He never said anything bad to them. If anything, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's because He understood the sins of the world. He understood that people were coming from a place of jealousy, you know, a place of mockery. They just couldn't imagine that a person is dying for our sins. It was pride and a lot of things, but He understood that He had to go on that suffering. He had to suffer for the humankind. He had to do everything to fulfill the promise and the prophecies of the Old Testament to then give us all a new life. So when you really understand that, when you grasp that idea, you live morally like that, you have that relationship with God, you are thinking from a very different perspective. And now that's why we in unity as Christians have the goal of changing world into a better place, serving people as Jesus served us, and be that person that, you know, looks out for other people and want other people to be free and want them to, you know, experience the things that we experience. So, you know what I mean? Because you don't want to keep that to yourself. It's a good thing that we have, but we don't want to keep that to ourselves. We want to now give it out, share that with other people, because what's the point of having something good that you keep? You want to give that away. You know what I mean? So that's like one of the biggest takeaways that you can apply today. Being a masculine man is having the moral character and having the courage to act.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Yeah.
Good episode. Quote of the day.
Georgie? I'll do quote of the day. So, no man has ever risen to the stature of spiritual manhood until he has found that it is finer to serve somebody else than it is to serve himself. By Woodrow Wilson? Is that how you say his name?
Woodrow Wilson, yeah.
Woodrow Wilson, yeah.
It's president.
Yeah, dude, this quote actually...
Oh, yeah?
He is a president.
I didn't even know that, brother. Good to know.
Of what country?
America.
United States of America.
Oh, wait.
Talking about history.
Georgie.
He was a 20th president.
Oh, okay. I thought you said old, now. I was like,
No. An old president. Yo, yeah,
what?
Trump. 2034.
There you go. And,
Yeah, that is a great quote.
Yeah, dude. I mean, dude, we like, literally talked about everything that's here. And I even mentioned a quote, too, from the Hard Times, Great Strong Men, which connects to, like,
being a person where you serve others instead of serving yourself, which is one of the most, if you ask me, most masculine trait, which why there's like a man is the head of the family, and in order for you to be the man of the fam or the head of the family is to be masculine, because then now you have to put everything aside, like even your career sometimes, you know, once you already have family, because that's how serious it is, and provide for them, right? Go out, come back home, like maybe some people even work two shifts, you know what I mean? To provide for the family, provide for their country, going to war and whatnot. So at that point, it's not even about you, but it's about others.
You give up yourself for the world. You give up yourself. That's self-sacrifice. You give up yourself for greater cause than yourself. That's what Christ did on the cross, right? That's the whole idea. That's
what he teaches us to be like, you know what I mean? That's what he wants us to be like him. And it's not like, oh, you guys should also like do exactly what I did, right? Which is impossible. But it's also the idea is do not serve yourself, but serve others more than you serve yourself.
Exactly.
And you will be rewarded.
Amen.
Shout out.
You want to give a shout out, Mike?
Yeah, sure. Average Pape. Patriot .14. Love the new setup. Said that Josh and Sasha had to leave. Glad you were able to move on respectfully and with optimism, hoping that you will realize that we as Christian men should stand our faith against the world, even if it means getting disliked.
Amen. Thank you for this comment. And yeah, I really do hope that Josh and Sasha will join us in the future and we will all be together, and I do really hope that
we'll get
they do
find God
and you know, come to Christ in faith. It's like probably gonna be the best thing ever. It's gonna happen, and to be honest, nothing but respect for them, nothing but love for them, because the amount of things that we learned from each other, the amount of things that they helped us in, and they're still helping us in some of the things that we might need personally, meaning like in editing or our thumbnails and stuff.
Yeah,
so
it's like,
right, exactly. So, you know, these are the little things that matter, I think, in everyday life. And these are the little things that you need to